Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Planning Committee of the 23rd of April 2024. We'll just start with a welcome and introduction of ourselves as the committee, Planning Committee. So I'll start with myself, Chairman Councillor Arshad Afsar. To my right, I've got the Planning Manager, Naomi Perry, and I've got Planning Officers Lisa Bird and Barbara Toy. And to my left, I've got legal representatives Penelope James and Leah Ass, and Democratic Services Officer Daniel Corquette. If I can just ask the committee to introduce themselves, if you can press the mic when you're doing so, please, from the right.
Thank you. I'm Michael Huckabee, Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Saeed Hussein. I'm also the Vice Chair of the Committee, also a Councillor.
Good afternoon, Alison Legg.
Bev Ashcroft.
Colin Whittaker.
Jackie Jones. Councillor Chris Smedley.
Councillor Liz Bullock.
Thank you. We'll just start off with some housekeeping rules now, please. If I can ask everybody to switch off their mobile phones. We're not expecting a live fire drill, but if we do hear the fire alarm, it will be a live call, so proceed the way you came out, back outside onto the main car park. Polite notice not to call out when individuals are speaking, as it will prevent others from hearing the debate. Any member who is listed down to speak on any item will be given 3 minutes. There will be a timer to indicate this. And we'll move on to the agenda for today's Planning Committee. Agenda item one. Do we have any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chair. We have apologies from Councillor Holton and Slater. Councillor Slater.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item two. Do we have any declarations of interest from any member? Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chair. On 5.2, I wasn't available for the site visit, so I will retain my right to vote.
Thank you. Any further declarations of interest? No. We'll move on to agenda item number three. Would members please accept the minutes from the last meeting held on 26th of March? Proposer, Councillor Jones. Seconder, Councillor Whittaker. Can I see a show of hands, all those in favour, please? Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. We'll move on to agenda item number four. Do we have any urgent business to be brought to the committee's attention? No urgent business. Thank you. We'll move on to agenda item number five. That's to consider the planning applications listed. So we'll move on with the first planning application, application number P2023-00634, which is for the change of use of allotment land to form extension to existing cemetery burial grounds with associated car parking and changes to land levels. Land adjacent to Stapenhill Cemetery, 38 Stapenhill Road, Burton-on-Trent, Staffordshire, DE159AE. I will now pass on to the officers to present the case. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. As the Chair has stated, this application relates to land adjacent to Stapenhill Cemetery and it's for the change of use of allotment land to form an extension to the existing cemetery burial ground with associated car parking and changes to land levels. The slide that's visible now indicates the application site edged in black and shows the conservation area which goes around the original part of the cemetery and goes in a westerly direction towards the River Trent. The application site currently has access from Claverhouse Road. This is Scalpcliffe Road to the north and Elms Road to the south. This area here is a former extension to Stapenhill Cemetery. This slide shows that slightly more zoomed out, so you can see the remaining part of the conservation area and the river to the west here. The dotted blue line around the application site indicates that it's a registered park and garden at grade 2, and that is around the original part of the cemetery. There's some listed structures to the front of the cemetery, which is the entrance archway here. So that indicates the listed structure on Stapenhill Road, which is the main access to the cemetery site. These two images indicate a view of the site from Claverhouse Road, which is off Scalpcliffe Road, looking in towards the application site with the cemetery beyond this existing tree line across here. And these views are taken from within the cemetery site itself, looking down towards the application site, towards the rear of the properties on Scalpcliffe Road and the access onto Claverhouse Road. The allotments that were present on this land were closed in January 2021, and as you can see, the site has just been left since then and is reasonably overgrown. And then this slide indicates the existing boundary trees, which is viewed from within the existing cemetery. So the application site is beyond these trees here, between the cemetery and the dwellings on Scalpcliffe Road. And the area here would be a car park area to serve the existing and the proposed cemetery area. The site does slope in two directions. It slopes downwards from Elms Road towards the application towards the site and down to Scalpcliffe Road, and it also slopes down towards Stapenhill Road in this direction. The proposed site layout is on the slide that you can see now. The car parking area is this area here, with the cemetery extension in this area here. There would be a remaining strip of land between the properties on Scalpcliffe Road and the cemetery to the west of the site here, so this area here would remain in its current form. It's not part of the development, and this strip here. The application site would be accessed from the existing access roads within the cemetery. As you can see, this is one of the roads coming through the cemetery, and that stops approximately here at the moment. This would continue into the application site with the land levels built up by approximately 1.2 to 2.6 metres, and would provide vehicle access across this extended piece of land. Members asked on a site visit earlier about the number of plots to be provided, and I have looked through correspondence that I've had previously that indicates that it's difficult to give a specific number of plots, mainly because these can be of differing sizes depending on the age of the person being buried. But it would provide for 7 to 10 years of additional burial space, with approximately 200 burials taking place every year. It would still be possible for burials to take place in the main cemetery, and the number of burial spaces are also affected by faith. So some faiths can only accommodate one person to a plot, and other faiths would accommodate more. So this indicates the landscaping to the site. So as you can see, there would be trees around the perimeter of the extension to the cemetery and to the perimeter of the car parking area, along with some hedges to the car parking area as well. That would result in 17 new trees to the cemetery extension and 9 new trees to the car park, with an 11% biodiversity net gain. No existing trees are proposed to be removed, and the land to the edges around here will be regraded, sloping downwards towards those properties on Scalpcliffe Road and downwards in that direction as well. The car park area itself is proposed to be formed of a self-binding gravel. the next two slides indicate site sections. These indicate the existing dwellings on Scalpcliffe Road here, and the green line shows the existing land level of the site, and the blue line here indicates the proposed land levels, and that's the same on this here, green lines for the existing and the proposed in this area here. And similarly, that shows the same thing as the proposed land level in that area there, and they're taken across these three sections of the application site. The separation distance from these properties to the start of that bund is between 48 to 56 metres. So in relation to consultations, the County Highway Authority have no objection subject to condition in relation to a construction management plan. The County Archaeologist has no objection, and the Ecologist has no objection subject to conditions in respect of the appointment of an ecologist and precautionary measures for site clearance works. The Lead Local Flood Authority have no objection subject to a condition in respect of drainage, and the Environment Agency also recommend a condition in relation to the protection of groundwater sources. The Gardens Trust and Historic England declined to comment, and Staffordshire Police and Nature Space have no objection to the proposals. The East Staff Environmental Health Team have no objection subject to condition recommended by the Environment Agency in respect of the groundwater sources, and a further condition in respect of imported soil. The Conservation Officer also had no objection subject to a condition in respect of the use of Cotswold gravel to the car parking area. Brislingcote Parish Council did not submit any formal objections, but were submitted some comments to say they were aware of concerns in relation to the access layout and plans for the future of the whole site. No comments were received from ward members. In relation to neighbour responses, 10 responses were received, one objecting to the proposals as summarised below, and 9 raising similar concerns. These concerns are as follows: impact on visual amenity due to increased land height with the access road visible from Scalpcliffe Road, impact to residential amenities including construction hours, loss of privacy due to the change in land levels, antisocial behaviour and increased noise levels from visitors and for maintenance of the land. Highways impacts including vehicle movements and routes to the site to deliver topsoil and the use of the Clover House Road access, mud on the road, hours of operation for associated traffic, and the width of the surrounding roads with lack of justification for the proposed car park. Concerns were made in relation to drainage given the sloping land levels of the site and the creation of the car park exacerbating flooding, with no details of a soakaway having been provided, and the potential for contamination and biohazards from decomposing corpses on the land. The preliminary ecological appraisal was not available for viewing. This was on the website. A pedestrian access from Clover House Road would be useful. There are no details as to how the remaining land will be used. The water supply to the land should be separate, and no details of boundary fencing have been provided with a potential security risk. The policies used in relation to this are the MPPF, the ESBC local plan, the ES design guide, the parking standards SPD, and the separation distances and amenity SPD. In terms of the assessment of the application, the development is considered to be acceptable in principle, being located within a settlement boundary and providing additional burial space where a need has been demonstrated. On balance, it offers a suitable form of sustainable development. In relation to design and impact, the cemetery extension would be set at a higher land level, increasing by approximately 1.2 to 2.6 metres, and includes the creation of a new car park. The change in land levels would not be highly visible from outside of the site, as it is bounded by dwellings to the north, agricultural land to the east, and the existing cemetery to the south and west. The car park would be entirely screened from public vantage points. The development offers a suitable siting, density and design for its setting that will not harm the character and appearance of the area. In relation to the historic environment, the proposals would not interfere with the formal layout of the original cemetery and would have a neutral impact on the listed entrance gateway to the Stapenhill Road entrance, preserving the special significance of the Grade 2 registered park and garden and the conservation area, and no archaeological issues have been raised. In terms of amenity, no structures are proposed as part of the scheme, and the alterations to the land levels are proposed to be acceptable given the separation distances and level of landscaping proposed. The operation of the cemetery extension is not considered to result in significant noise or activity. In relation to highways matters, the proposal would utilise the existing access from Stapenhill Road, although it is noted that during the works for the land levels, access may be required via Claverhouse Road. A condition in relation to a construction traffic management plan is recommended given the comments received in relation to the use of the Claverhouse Road access. The proposed uses of the land as a burial ground is unlikely to generate significant traffic over and above that already using the site. The parking area proposed is considered acceptable given that the majority of new burials will take place close to the application site and the existing parking is approximately 490 metres to the west. In terms of flooding and drainage, hydrological assessments have been provided during the course of the application and the Environment Agency has confirmed that the mitigation measures proposed are acceptable with the regrading of the land required to increase the depth and protect groundwater sources. A condition is recommended in relation to the depth and sizing of burials within the cemetery extension. The Environmental Health Team are in agreement with the EA's comments and have also recommended a condition in relation to imported soil to ensure that this is suitably tested. The lead local flood authority have also recommended a condition in relation to groundwater flooding, which is also considered to be appropriate. In relation to biodiversity, the proposals would result in a biodiversity net gain of 11%, and the implementation of a landscape and ecological enhancement scheme would provide for the addition of 17 new trees to the boundary of the cemetery extension and 9 new trees to the perimeter of the car park. These would be of medium and large native species. In conclusion, the proposal complies with the East Staffordshire Local Plan, the Parking Standards SPD, the East Staffordshire Design Guide SPD, the Separation Distances and Amenity SPD, and the National Planning Policy Framework. The recommendation is to approve with conditions as per the report and update sheet. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a number of speakers on this item, so if I could ask for Clive Ward to come forward, please. And when you're ready, just press the button on the microphone, which will give you 3 minutes. Yeah, thank you.
Right, is that it? Okay, sorry. Right, some of this has already been covered, but here goes. I'm speaking not just on my own behalf, but for a number of people whose houses back onto the site and have asked me to be their spokesperson. We're not opposed to the development in principle, but we've got concerns about some aspects of the plan in its current form. Firstly, privacy. I mean, the ground will be raised on a level with our bedrooms at the moment. And although the existing trees provide some cover, it's not complete. Most of them are deciduous, so it won't be there in the winter. We would ask that there should be further screening provided in the form of a fence or hedge along the northern edge of the raised area. We were dismayed to learn that no security fencing was included in the plan, such as exists between gardens and the cemetery lower down the road. There has been antisocial behaviour in the cemetery in the past. The doors are not always locked at night, despite assurances to the contrary, and the general public will now have access right up to the end of our back gardens. As for drainage, regardless of the conclusions of the hydrological risk assessment, I can tell you that during past winters, we, that's number 152, have often had water flowing into our garden from the allotment area. The situation is worse further down the road. Number 142 frequently gets their garage flooded, for example, again from surface water running off the allotments. Last winter, on more than one occasion, there was appreciable flow of water from the allotments through the gates onto Claverhouse Road, thence onto the lower part of Scalpliff Road, the drains on which are overwhelmed during periods of heavy rain. And last winter, there were occasions when sewage washed up out of the drains. So we worried that the proposed drainage system may not be sufficient to prevent these problems, particularly since water drains onto the site from the hill to the east, and we fear the proposed changes may channel more of this into our gardens. The application form mentions a soakaway, but this doesn't appear in the construction specification or drawings. Instead, there is an oil separator, and I quote from the document here, "The point of outfall is yet to be determined." But from its position, it looks likely that it would connect to the sewers in Claverhouse Road, exacerbating the problems I just mentioned. So, to summarise, and also we're concerned about the possibility of future expansion, i.e. extension of the raised area even closer to our properties, and would ask that permission for the current works would only be given on assurance this would not happen. So to summarise, we ask that permission only be granted if the plans are amended to include screening at north edge of the raised area, security fencing bordering the gardens on Scalpcliffe Road, and that the drainage system should be scrutinised and possibly revised, and assurance given that no future northward expansion will be allowed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I have the second speaker, Christopher Timothy, please, come forward? I think the microphone's already pressed, so when you're ready, just...
Chairman and members of the committee, good afternoon. I'm Christopher Timothy of CT Planning. We've made the planning application on behalf of East Staffordshire Borough Council. In relation to the issues that have just been raised by the first speaker, considerable effort has obviously gone into this, the design and siting of this cemetery to ensure that the living conditions of neighbouring properties in Scalpcliffe Road have been respected. In terms of changes in levels, as Mrs. Bird said in her introduction, the change in levels will be between 1.2 and 2.6 metres. And this will be at a distance of around 44 metres from the rear of properties in Scalpcliffe Road, about 16 metres from their rear boundary, given the degree of separation that exists between the application site itself and these properties. It is my professional view, which I see is shared by Lisa Bird, that this will not have any impact on the living conditions of neighbouring properties. It is very difficult to discern that increase in levels at that distance. The use of the site is obviously compatible with the use of the remainder of the site as a cemetery. It is only open from 9 o'clock to 5:30 every day. My clients are not aware of any recent antisocial behaviour on the site that has resulted in reports to the police. I would suggest that there's no material difference in the level of activity proposed on this site when compared to its previous use as an allotment. There will be some disturbance, obviously, during the construction phase, but that can be dealt with by the construction management plan as discussed in the discussion on conditions at the outset. In terms of drainage, the raising of the levels have obviously been done on the recommendation of the Environment Agency, and there's been hydrological surveys submitted to satisfy both the lead local flood authority and the Environment Agency. There is a condition that you will see at condition 6 that has been requested by the lead local flood authority that requires the submission of details of the surface water drainage scheme prior to the commencement of development, so the concerns of the residents will be allayed in that respect. Overall, this site has obviously been earmarked as an extension to the cemetery since your survey back in 2013. It's wholly within the built-up area of Burton-upon-Trent, and the proposed development would comply with the policies contained in both your local plan and the supplementary planning documents. For that reason, I ask you to grant planning permission subject to the conditions that are proposed by your officers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We don't have any further speakers on this item, so now I will open it up to committee members for debate. Thank you. Do we have any committee member indicating to speak first? Councillor Jones.
Could I ask a couple of questions, Chair? The objector raised the issue of privacy and asked for further screening and security fencing and the access from the site to their back gardens. Can you just tell me what sort of screening we've got, what security fence or what fencing we've got, and the area between the end of the development site and their back gardens, do we know what's going to happen to that? I mean, it's obviously not going to revert to allotments, but is it going to be maintained in or landscaped in some way?
The land that's situated between the rear of the properties on Scalpcliffe Road and the cemetery extension is in council ownership, so it would be maintained by our open spaces team. They haven't provided us with any specific details as to what they'll do with that, but it would be down to the council to maintain that land. In terms of the separation distance as well, I don't know if I've got a better plan to put on. The separation distance is between the rear of the properties on Scalpcliffe Road and the application site is considered to be sufficient. It is noted that the land levels are to be increased, but given the distance away and the level of screening proposed, we think that's acceptable. And there's a condition recommended in relation to boundary screening, so any of that, the fencing or security fencing, could be incorporated within the submission of details for that condition.
Could you just reiterate what that landscaping and fencing is for the committee, as that would seem to be a fairly significant objection?
So the boundary of the site with Scalpcliffe Road, so the Scalpcliffe Road properties are to the north up here, it's this boundary here, so the land levels would raise in this direction with this being higher, and there's trees and planting along that boundary that are proposed as part of the landscaping scheme. The fencing is subject to the conditions, so we don't have those details at this stage.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers? Councillor Whittaker.
So, moving on from that, do we need to condition that security fencing to satisfy the objection we received, or because otherwise it needs to be up to his job and fit for purpose?
If members wanted to, that could be an additional condition for the security fencing and landscaping.
So that would be like a palisade fencing, basically, as a condition?
Oh, I suppose at this stage, if you just ask for a condition for a scheme to be submitted rather than specific details.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Chair, could we add that in addition to that, we have some maintenance conditions for that strip of land as well, because at the moment it just belongs to East Atterborough Council and they are to maintain it. That doesn't really tell us too much, does it, if they're maintaining it?
So just to clarify, you're asking for a condition on the land that's outside of the application site, but within the council ownership.
Yes, you're going to tell me it's outside the application site.
No, it's in the blue land,
so you can
condition it. So if you wanted to have a formal motion on that.
Combine both of those things then, yeah. So can you suggest a form of words that we need for that condition?
Yeah. Yeah, feel happy to delegate the word into officers, or if you want us to suggest something.
Well, it's the fencing that satisfies security of the area, isn't it? Yeah.
I will just move over to Councillor Legg before we make any formal motion.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to include the gate that was the second site visit we saw today to make that more secure as well. And my second point was, could we have evergreen trees instead of deciduous ones, which may help the people who live adjacent to that fence?
Oh, sorry, we've just been having a discussion. We think actually based on what's just been said, it's likely that two conditions would be more appropriate, one for the boundary treatment itself and one for maintenance. So we're just working on some proposed wording and then if you want to put the motion forward.
In the meantime, do we have any further questions while we would get the word in for the motion? Councillor
No, that's not part of this application.
If you have a security fence there, then it would not be necessarily done in the same way at the same time if you stuck a fence along that area that we were looking at, along the boundary.
Councillor Legg, do you want to just come in with your question, follow-up?
Thank you, Chair. My question now, again, this time, is regarding the surface of the car park. Why have we chose gravel and not some sort of permeable surface, please?
That was following a response from our conservation officer who, given that it's a registered park and garden, requested that the Cotswold gravel would be a more suitable surface for that area.
Okay, thanks.
So, moving on, I think for the motion, we've got the wording. I'll just let the officer read out the wording first for the first motion, and then we'll move to vote and then move to the second the wording for the second motion and vote.
So the first one will be, prior to commencement of the development, hereby approved submission of details of boundary treatment, including security fencing and landscaping along the northern boundary of the application site, shall be provided, shall be submitted to for approval, by the local planning authority.
Would you be happy with that, Councillor Jones, and propose that? Would you second that, Councillor Whittaker?
Yeah.
Shall we move to a vote of all those in favour of that motion? Any against? Any abstentions? No, thank you. If you can just read out the wording for the second motion, please, and then we'll move to vote.
Thank you. Prior to commencement of the development, hereby approved details of the maintenance of the land beyond the northern boundary adjacent to the rear of properties on Scalpcliffe Road. Details of a scheme of maintenance of the land beyond the northern boundary adjacent to the rear of properties on Scalpcliffe Road shall be submitted for approval by the local planning authority.
Could you include the gate access that Councillor Legg asked for on that improvement?
That would form part of the previous one.
Okay.
Thank you. Are we happy with the wording on that, Councillor Jones? Yep. Are you happy to second that, Councillor Legg? Yep, thank you. We'll move to a vote on that. So all those in favour, please. Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. Then both those motions are carried with the wording that's been read out. Thank you. Do we have any further speakers on the item? Councillor Huckabee.
Cotswold gravel. Permeability of that, do we know?
I understand it is permeable, but it's self-binding, so it won't spread onto the remaining roadway.
Spread onto, not the water that runs off on.
The gravel itself wouldn't be tracked onto the rest of the road when vehicles move like normal gravel would be.
I thought that council policy was to attempt to break up the amount of impermeable covers that is being placed within the borough regarding the subsequent flooding possibilities. And though it might look very nice, is there no alternative which is permeable?
And just to reiterate what the case officer says, it is still a permeable product.
Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chair. May I just ask through you, Chair, resident mentioned about antisocial behaviour. Can the officer tell us, is there any imminent concern from the police?
Do you want to just repeat that question? I don't think the officer quite heard it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. May I seek attention for the officers, please? Could you please help us? Residents quite rightly express a concern about antisocial behaviour. Do we have any imminent concerns from the police, or do you have any issues from the police?
Staffordshire Police were consulted but have raised no objections to the proposal.
Thank you. Any further speakers on this item? So we have no further speakers. Just summarising what we have in front of us. Obviously, we've heard from the officers in great detail. We've seen the presentation before us. We're looking at an allotment land that's been unused since 2021, which is obviously being changed into the use of a cemetery space. which is possibly 7 to 10 years and possibly 200, accommodating 200 burials per year. We've seen that we've had no objections from the consultees, publicly no objections subject to the conditions and concerns that have raised it. Likewise, with the neighbours' concerns, again, we've had conditions and motions put in place to mitigate those concerns. If I can just ask, do we have at this moment a proposer to take this application forward? Councillor Whittaker.
I propose we accept this application as per the officer's recommendations with the conditions we've subsequently applied.
Seconder, Councillor Hussain. Is that okay? Yeah. Right, so we've got a proposer, we've got a seconder to take the application forward to be approved subject to the conditions and motions that have been raised. Can I see a show of hands of all those in favour? Thank you. That's unanimous. That's unanimous. Sorry, the application's been approved on this. Thank you. If anybody would like to leave the room, they may do so now before we move on to the next item. Thank you. We'll move on to the second application of today. This is application number P2023-00217. Installation of 49.9 MW solar photovoltaic array solar farm with associated infrastructure, cost boundary site with Staffordshire Moorlands District Council. Proposed solar farm north of Bramble Cottage, Greensmiths Lane, Upper Lee, Staffordshire, ST10 4NY. I'll just pass it over to the officer for presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The members will remember this application from February Planning Committee, and as the Chair said, it relates to a 49.9 megawatt solar farm, which is a cross-boundary application with Staffordshire Moorlands District Council, and members are reminded that there is an update sheet in relation to this, with an additional neighbour comments and some additional comments from Lee Parish Council. The slide that's on the screen at the moment indicates the application site in black and shows the two distinct areas. So the pink area here is in East Staffordshire, so that's within our area, and then the area in the yellow is within Staffordshire Moorlands. This is broken into two areas, so there's a field in this area here, and the remainder of the site in the Moorlands area is in this area here. The rest is within East Staffordshire, with access coming along Lee Lane here into the site. Just as a reminder for members, the site is situated within between the A50, which runs to the north of the site here. There's the railway line, which runs here, and the River Blythe, which meanders around where the railway line is situated. There are some listed buildings nearby. These are situated to the south here, and there is a listed bridge approximately here on the entrance road towards the site. That is listed, but is within the Moorlands area. And And this just indicates those listed structures. So this is the bridge which is within the Staffordshire Moorlands area, and these are the two listed properties to the south of the application site here. This slide indicates the application site in relation to other applications that have been dealt with by Staffordshire Moorlands. The pink area, the dark blue and the orange have been approved, and they are for other solar farms within the Staffordshire Moorlands area. The light blue area is a current application being dealt with by Staffordshire Moorlands, and I would advise members that Staffordshire Moorlands District Council considered the application in March Planning Applications Committee meeting, and it was refused on the basis of cumulative visual impacts and impacts neighbouring properties. In relation to the reasons for deferral, the application, as I've just mentioned, was previously seen at the February committee, and members deferred the application for the following reasons: to allow for further consultation with the applicant surrounding the use of alternative field arrangements, to allow for further consultation with the applicant surrounding the safety of the battery storage area, and members also requested that the applicant undertake further consultations with local residents. So this is the amended site layout plan which has been submitted to us since the last meeting. Amendments were made to field 16 and 20, so this is field 16 here, and amendments were made to this corner, which I will show you a slide shortly that shows exactly what's changed, and to field 20, where amendments have been made to this area alongside Lee Lane. The battery storage area was in this area here, adjacent to the compound for the rest of the infrastructure. That has now been removed from the application, but the hard standing area would remain in there. So in relation to the field arrangements for field 16, the corner of the site, the panels have been removed from this area. So this was the previous layout that members saw at the February meeting, and this is the current proposed amended layout, removing those panels from this corner. We did see on the committee bus in February, we drove around this corner, and there is a footpath that comes up along here, so they've removed them from that more visible corner area to the south of that field. The applicant has also provided some cross sections in relation to this, through this area here, to demonstrate the height of the panels and the fencing and boundary treatments proposed with the hedges, to show that they would be screened from public vantage points onto Lee Lane. So the panels are shown in this section here, with the fence proposed here and the hedging and existing trees to the Lee Lane side. In relation to field 20, negotiations had already taken place in respect of this area here, so members saw that this was to be a wooded area at the last committee meeting that this came to. Since then, this has been amended to remove this area of panels, so this would just be given over to planting, and a section along here which has been removed, which is here on this plan, and that pushes the panels in further into the site and away from the Lee Lane boundary. And again, there's another cross section through that field to show, and that's through this area here to show the height of the panels, the fencing and the trees and the boundary hedges. I would also add that the agent has also taken the opportunity to clarify the capacity of the site as a whole, which is controlled by the inverters within each field and would not exceed 49.9 megawatts and therefore wouldn't constitute a nationally significant infrastructure project. 7 of the inverters were in the Moorlands area of the site, and 12 of those inverters are within the East Staffordshire area, which equates to 31.2 megawatts in our area. So this area here was previously shown as the battery energy storage system compound. The units that were proposed in that area have been removed. It's still proposed to have hard standing within it, and there are some cabins proposed here. So the one at the top, the green one, is a welfare cabin, and the yellow one is a spares container. And there were other cabins here, pink and purple ones, which were the DNO switch room and a switch gear. So the battery energy storage system is no longer proposed on the application. In relation to publicity and representations, Lee Parish Council have objected to the application and continue to object and have expressed their disappointment at the lack of consultation and poor communication with the applicant. A single meeting was held with the parish and residents in March 2023 prior to the application being submitted, and no further meeting has taken place. Following the February committee meeting, the applicant contacted the parish council in relation to the community benefit fund. However, it is not it's not the community benefit funds which the parish council wished to engage with the application about, but the areas of the application that are of concern, i.e. moving the panels in fields 16 and 20 in their entirety further within the site, and relation to concerns about the battery storage area and the traffic management plan. The applicant has not been able to attend a meeting prior to the committee meeting, and one is not scheduled until the 7th of May. No comments were received from ward members, but in terms of neighbour responses, following a reconsultation carried out by ourselves, 69 objections have been received to the amended plans, 34 of these from residents who previously commented and 35 from residents who had not previously commented on the application. It is noted that most of these were reiterating or reflecting issues previously raised in relation to the principle of the proposal, impacts on residential amenities and visual amenities, highway safety, heritage impacts, health and wellbeing, flooding, drainage, biodiversity and soil quality. Only 14 of the comments made were in relation to the specific amendments made by the applicant, and they are as follows. So in relation to the alternative field arrangements, the comments were that those arrangements for fields 16 and 20 will not change the impact of the wider area. The amendments of the two fields are inadequate. Only a handful of panels have been removed, which has not protected Lee Lane. There is no reason the panels cannot be located closer to the landowner, and panels should be at least 150 metres from residential properties. In relation to the battery storage area, comments were received that the removal of this area implies that there will be solar panels on site before any possibility of connecting to the grid. Concerns that the site compound would remain, and that there should be a stipulation that no battery storage can be added at a later date, along with concerns that the solar farm will not operate properly without the battery storage area. In terms of engagement with the local community, the comments submitted included little effort having been made to engage with the local community, no consultation with residents following the February meeting. The parish council have been unsuccessful in getting the applicant to agree to a community meeting prior to the closure of the consultation period, and the community fund available should be shared between the two authorities with an annual compensation scheme suggested. No response has been received within the statutory consultation period from the Member of Parliament. In relation to policies, the application has been considered in line with the National Planning Policy Framework, the ESBC Local Plan and the East Staffordshire Design Guide. In terms of the assessment of the application, this has been assessed according to the reasons for deferral from the last meeting, which were the amendments to the field arrangements and the removal of panels from the southern corner of field 16 and the northern corner of field 20, with additional planting in those areas, is considered to be acceptable and would reduce the visibility of the proposals from Lee Lane. A condition is recommended to ensure that panels are only placed within the areas shown on the submitted plans. The removal of the battery storage area has been proposed, with the area to be formed of hard standing. The solar farm can be operated independently of this, and a condition is recommended to ensure that no batteries are brought onto the site without planning permission in the future. The capacity of the solar farm was addressed by the applicant, and the solar farm over the two areas would have a maximum output of 49.9 megawatts, with the portion within East Staffs being 31.2 megawatts. This is controlled, as I said previously, by the inverters on the site, which restrict the capacity, and therefore the solar farm would not constitute a nationally significant infrastructure project. In relation to consultation with local residents, the applicant has advised that they have consulted further with Lee Parish Council in relation to the Community Benefit Fund and stated that an open dialogue is being maintained. This matter is not material to the determination of the application itself as it falls outside the remit of the Planning Act. That's just a plan of the new proposed site area. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a number of speakers on this item, so if I could ask for the first speaker, Toby Collins, to come forward, please. And when you're ready, just press the button. When the red light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From the last meeting, the development area 16 and 20 has the biggest design appearance and ecological impact. The applicant has amended the panel structure, but it has not addressed the main issue, and we still insist that these two areas must be fully clear. Using them is totally inconsiderate to the village. We see that there is a condition that states no batteries on the compound without further planning approval. We would want the condition to be that if it was approved, a further application will not be submitted to install the BESS system. Lee Parish strongly expresses their disappointment in the continued lack of consultation and poor communication with the residents by the applicant, which was requested by the councillors, but are advised this bears no relevance to the decision of the application. We have sent detailed photographic evidence of the recent accident where, despite a car being stopped with a side in the hedge, the lorry trying to get past damaged the entire length of the car. From someone who was at Topman Solar at the time, the materials movement from that solar farm descended into chaos, and in the end, an unplanned one-way system had to be created. Currently, 6 known development sites totalling 190 megawatts, covering 895 acres, are clustered around the local area in proximity to Lee. And the clustering impact requires particular attention because of that increased impact on the landscape and the effect on the residents. The neighbouring county council has decided that the clustering effect this application would create is a step too far. This 1.5 kilometre farm from northwest to southeast is the most open aspect of the site from a visual point of view. A landscape and environmental consultant has commented, "I was surprised to see so few viewpoints between the area of the high visibility to the south. This is a significant omission and underplays the proportion of visibility in the assessment. 26 properties are identified within 500 metres, and yet these are only assumed visibility for the assessment. They have not been visited and properly assessed. This is key. But the most important issue is the changes to landscape character, and under paragraph 7.2.3, they talk about more solar within the same settled plateau farmland landscape. This will take away the very characteristics it is noted as being sensitive for. Also, they note in the assessment that by more visibility, it would help about strengthening the new key characteristic, which is solar. This is basically saying the entire character of the landscape will change. What is more, they mention other adjacent areas that are also currently submitted and in for planning decision. Given the key likely adverse effects, considering of all the applications should be made together, and the cumulative adverse landscape and visual effects, give full consideration at the same time. And finally, to reiterate from the last meeting, there is plenty of time to get this right as commissioning cannot take place for many years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and all for your attention.
Thank you. Could I ask for Neil Warburton to come forward, please? Neil Warburton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee. The Committee deferred this application on the 27th of February for further consultation. I was going to tell you about no consultation this afternoon, but actually the Light Rock representative came in trumps this morning at 8:45 when he phoned my 84-year-old father. A bit late, I'd have thought. Obviously, Field 20 is the most intrusive of Lee Lane Farm, and I asked him to take this out of the application. He said he couldn't, as the applicant didn't want any panels closer to himself. Small amendments to the application have been made, but these can only be described as a tick box exercise. A panel here and a panel there. The most interesting amendment is the removal of the BE battery energy storage system, BESS. How can this storage system be so integral to the application on the 27th of February, but here we are just under 2 months later, the application does not require them, but it has retained its base, which they already sat on. We all know what's happening here, don't we? Get the planning through, then reapply and have it reinstated at a later date. Can a clause be added for no batteries if passed? Actually, the South Moorlands rejected the application on 5 counts, not what's been stated here today. The first one was contrary to policy DC1, DC3, SD2, SD4. The second one was contrary to SS10, paragraph 3.3, 4.2. The third one was the impact on the site in terms of visual and residential amenity. The fourth one was detrimental impact to the landscape. And the fifth and the most important is the cumulative impact on the development of the area, which you've seen on the slide of the clustering of the panels. One other overwhelming issue was the proximity of the panels to the adjoining neighbours, and it is suggested this should be looked at with a guide of 150 metres between the panels and the residents. Could the committee discuss this, please? Overwhelmingly, this application is poorly thought out. What we have here is 2 applicants and 1 representative, forcing a development that the local community rejects with good cause. We ask you as councillors elected by a local community to represent the local community's views, please. I'd like to leave you with just 3 figures, 3 numbers now, actually, please. The first number is 229.5. That's the amount of acres being taken out of sustainable food production to accommodate this. And what are we accommodating? We are accommodating 91,752 solar panels. I'll say that again, 91,752 solar panels. And to get all this up to the site, you're going to have over 9,000 traffic movements, and you've been down the road yourselves and seen it, not fit for purpose. No matter how you dress it up, you can't make this. Every report we read is enhancing to the area. It totally is not. And you're ruining the Blythe Valley. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. If I could ask for Rizard Kawak to come forward, please. Just press the button in the centre when you're ready.
In the centre, right, thank you. Chairman, councillors, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of my thunder has been stolen by the 2 former speakers. I think jumping to the key issues, in addition to what they've already said, I'd like to identify some of the issues that relate to the planning application in respect of the diversity, biodiversity design rationale. The state access statement says there's a buffer zone provided around the ponds for the great crested newts. However, this doesn't take into account the fact that the great crested newt is known for emigrating between ponds and areas for forage and breeding. These are the first to propose, I oppose this first proposal of the application. The second item is the ornithological impact assessment only relates to the barn owl and red kite. These are constituted as green on the list of birds that are threatened and not red. It's known in the area that northern lapwings have been known to nest in the field and are a regular visitor to the area. It appears that the surveys carried out failed to identify this migrant visitor. The barn, as I said earlier, the barn owl and red kite are classified as green under the Birds of Conservation Concern for the Red List for Birds 2021. Both are protected in the UK under the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981. The lapwing, however, is classified as red, which is under more serious threat and is threatened under the IUCN, International Union of Conservation of Nature, Red List. The item describes the procedures in the report, however it alludes to the information being provided prior to construction and not approval. I strongly oppose the proposal on the basis that this information should be provided prior to any approval being granted and not as a condition of the works. The habitat of these species may never return to the surrounding area if the proposal goes ahead. Finally, road access and widening. This is a major problem within the area. The road leading to the site has difficulties at the moment. Any additional large vehicles proposing to use it will put lives at risk. And the access proposals, recent access, do not offer a suitable solution. The small bridge at the end of the lower end of the lane will, over time, slowly degenerate and collapse. I believe that for those reasons that the scheme should be rejected. Finally, the project doesn't offer any local jobs or enrichment to the area. It doesn't offer any support or lacks an understanding of the local communities within the area who are actively involved in farming and the environment. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you. If I could ask for Chris Salvat to come forward, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, for having me back here today. As previously mentioned by the case officers, the application was deferred for us to address a few matters brought up kindly by Councillor Whittaker and other members here. One of them was to allow for further consultation with the applicant, with us, surrounding the use of those fields. And as has been addressed, we did look very carefully at Field 16 and 20, as those are the ones that both the parish council and local residents asked us. You know, they said these are the key points because that's the border with Lee Lane that they really wanted us to address. Now, there is a local resident who lives on Lee Lane in a farm just opposite, and throughout the design process, we have tried to pull panels back as far as we can from his particular property. He has a rear bedroom window that sort of looks out over some of the property. So we have moved it back from Lee Lane, but also taken his specific property into account. It's not the 150 metres that has been requested a couple of times here. That's not a planning requirement. It's to ensure there isn't too detrimental an impact on residential amenities. So we really have gone to quite great detail to make sure we can make it as acceptable as possible. Excuse me. And the second reason was to allow for further consultation surrounding battery storage. That's been mentioned a few times. Just wanted to clarify that there's quite a lot of changes in government legislation around battery storage. Obviously, there are a lot of battery storage schemes proposed across the country, and so there's a move within government and planning legislation to try and clarify and create a bit more of a structured process around batteries. So we thought the most sensible thing to do was to remove it altogether. It has been mentioned here that we might come back at a later date once that legislation is clarified, but it would be considered completely separate to this application. So batteries are not part of this application. The condition has been proposed they be removed altogether. So I just wanted to clarify that if we were to come back, it would be a completely separate application. it was requested that we speak about community benefit funds. We did contact the parish council and they said they didn't want to discuss community benefit funds because they didn't see it as a planning matter. We do want to have that open dialogue, but after any decision is handed down. Excuse me. So the other matter was the capacity of the site. Your officers have been incredibly diligent as ever in ensuring that we provide them all the detail we can to absolutely allow them to confirm to you that this does fall within local planning legislation and is not a what's called an NZIP scheme, not for national consideration. So we have, as we have over the course of the original application, we have done everything we can to really listen, really design properly, really take every bit of planning policy and local consideration into account to ensure we have a high quality scheme. That's what we've brought back before you today. Your case officers know a lot about the scheme, so I would encourage you to ask them anything you like about the scheme and look forward to the discussion. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We have no further. Thank you. We have no further speakers on this item, so I will now open the floor up for debate by the committee members. Do I have any committee member wishing to speak first? Yeah, Councillor Whittaker. Thank you.
Yeah, so the last meeting, we were looking at 240 acres. Now we're looking, we've taken 40% away from that. We've taken away the battery storage. And we've been told that that's an acceptable scheme financially, or is this just a bit of a time delay because they've got 5 years to actually reapply for the battery storage and fight a case with Moorlands to get that overturned? I'm disappointed that there hasn't been any dialogue, because half the reason it was deferred was because to open a dialogue between the village and the applicant. Well, obviously, the applicant has talked to people, but he hasn't talked to the village over this at all, for his subject. He's done minor changes around the peripheral of the site to try and get this passed through. The hard-standing area for the battery storage is still there, so and he was saying they've taken that out because it's a government policy and they're changing. I mean, the government policy is, as you say, is changing all the time. And I know they've just completed a consultation on the infrastructure with renewables generation, which is, I think, was a 63-page document, in which it states that in that, and part of the feedback was that the locals would be paid a compensation, and also they would be invited to receive a discounted energy tariff, which to me is a fantastic thing, and I'd love the day when that comes through. But as this site now, and in view of what's happened in the Moorlands, the cumulative effect of it, I mean, we've got it in our own sort of PPF, 362. The Borough Council has signed the Staffordshire Rural Declaration along with 40 other organisations, which set out a commitment to make sure Staffordshire's rural areas reach their full potential by adopting a proactive approach which empowers communities and delivers better outcomes in rural areas. It emphasises that rural areas are an asset. Well, this in front of us there, I don't think that it's been treated as an asset. And I've still got severe reservations about this, but I'll let everybody else speak.
Thank you. Do I have an indication of any further speakers on the item? Councillor Huckabee. If you can press your mic, please.
Mr. Chair. I was a bit puzzled by the retraction of the battery area, because I would have thought that the reason it was in the first place was to make the solar farm more connectable to the national grid where the line further down the valley. The removal of that battery situation on the admission of the applicant will have to come in later. This is what he's saying, this is what he said, that an application will be in its own right for the battery divorced from this application. But it still eventually will be a double application then, with one delayed. Now, I don't know that defeats my enthusiasm for this. It's just that the clarity of the situation of what's being asked for and when it's been asked is obviously one of the things that we should deliberate on. So I'm happy with the clarification that's taken place. With regard to the 150-metre requirement, would the officers interpret that as a line on the plan so I could see what that means?
East Staffordshire don't have a 150-metre separation requirement in any of our planning documents.
Well, notwithstanding that, how far does that shove it back? I guess it's from, is it Lee Lane, the area they're talking about? It's a point made by the speaker, so I thought I ought to be able to assess just what visually that means to the application. Or to put it another way, if it is Lee Lane, which is that one running to the right and diagonally down, what is the width of that gap between the hedge and the beginning of the panels?
The gap between the hedge and the panels on the cross sections provided is about 17 metres.
17. So 150 is likely to wipe out that area to the south on the and push that back to being practically an irrelevant field then, as far as generation is concerned.
Thank you, Councillor. Are you done there?
Yeah, I'm done.
Councillor Jones.
Comments to make. I'm really surprised that we managed to double the number of objectors in a month. We actually started with 34 for our last meeting and collected another 35 new objectors within this last month, which means we've got 69 objectors. That's an awful lot of objectors from a pretty small area, and that really does concern me. There's one point. The next point was, I struggle to see how I'm going to make a decision on this in view of the Staffordshire Moorlands turning it down on the cumulative visual impact. I can see exactly what they mean by that for when we were out in that area, and I don't know that we're able to make a decision based on what they've done, but it does make me really, really uncomfortable. And the third thing that I would like to say is we've actually gone from having 49.9 megawatt development or whatever down to 31.2 in East Staffordshire because the rest of it has been turned down. And does that make it economically viable? Because we were told that it had to be in the 49.9 megawatts or whatever that the measurement is that made it economically viable. And so that also really concerns me. I think the additional time in that has actually muddied the water even further for me in terms of how I can make a decision on it.
Just to clarify, the 49.9 megawatt area was for the whole site. So I've just pointed out the 31 is in our area, and that's how it was previously. It would have been slightly higher, but obviously some panels have been taken out. And just in reference to the neighbours, originally there were 97 responses received, and the 69 received are from the reconsultation that's taken place.
So in the report, it seemed to say that 35 of those were new objectors.
Yeah.
So we've still got an extra 35
so 30,
new
yes.
objectors.
Yeah, but it was just to clarify that there were 97 responses received originally.
So we've now got 130-odd-ish.
Ish, yeah.
I can't do the maths in my head. Okay. Okay, yeah, I do understand that the 31.2 megawatts are in our area, and they always were, but it has been slightly sold as a whole development that covers, you know, both the part that was for us and the part that was in Staffordshire Moorland. So, I do see that it says in the report that that still is viable, but it just seems a bit of a concern to me, really.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. All of the infrastructure, however, is within the East Staffordshire area, along with the access to the site. So it is capable of operating independently, and it is capable of operating without the battery energy storage system that's been taken out. My understanding in relation to that is that it would provide storage for energy that's harvested. So it's been taken out. The solar farm itself can connect directly to the grid, so it doesn't actually need the battery storage area to operate.
Thank you. Is visual impact, is that something that we can be concerned about? Because, you know, we are adding quite a huge extra chunk to what's already there, and that is something that does concern me. And from when we were out and about, that was something that was pretty obvious, that there was already a huge amount of panels already in that area.
Yes, as a committee, you can consider the cumulative impact with the moorlands. So I've just got this. That is, you know, within your writers' committee to do that. I suppose you've got to bear in mind, if I go back to the original slide, so this parcel and this one is what was refused at moorlands. So I suppose you've got to weigh up in your mind that actually that could not come forward. It could be appealed, it could be allowed as appeal. So in one circumstance, you might actually have a gap there. So there might not be as much of a cumulative impact, but obviously you've got that application as well to consider.
If we were to, say, turn this application down and there was an appeal, would it be for the whole area? So would the whole area be determined as one application, or would it still be two separate applications?
I'm guessing what the planning inspectorate might do, but I would have thought it would be reasonable to consider both at the same time, under one, even though it would have to be two decisions.
Councillor Ashcroft.
Yeah, I was just going to pick up following Jackie, actually. I think she's just asked the two questions that I was worried about with the whole cumulative impact. And if we rejected it, would it be two separate applications or one? I'm really concerned, actually, at that whole clustering effect on slide six when you look at it from an aerial view. I mean, that's just a massive area of solar panels. It's huge, irrelevant of whose area that is in. It's just massive. And I'm the fact that the Moorlands Council have rejected it based on that, I feel really uncomfortable. And I think, as Jackie said, it's muddied the waters a little bit really now, and I'm a little bit... I was hoping for something better to have come forward on this planning permission, if I'm honest.
Councillor Huckabee.
Yeah, thank you, Mr Chairman. The first speaker we had spent a good deal of his speech questioning the road system being suitable. Could we just reiterate the advice or the statement made by the County Council regarding this area?
The County Council were consulted on the application. There have been passing places proposed, which was proposed to be supported by a Grampian condition. So those passing places would have to be provided before any development took place. And they raised no objections to the proposals. They also commented on the listed bridge that's in Staffs Moorlands area and confirmed that was sufficiently weight-bearing for construction traffic to use that route.
Yeah. And would the planned passing places, would they consult anybody else other than themselves on the amount and the need for and the size of such passing places?
The details of the passing places were provided with the application, so they've already provided that level of detail.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, just going back to impact, I can see that members are perhaps struggling with the cumulative impact. There is impact of the development in its own right, not just cumulative impact as well. And the original officer's report did highlight, some level of harm.
Thank you. Do we have any further speakers? Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, I think some of the difficulty on this is the access to the site was within Moorland's control with their planning committee. But I would imagine the people in the Blythe ward would have more idea of the difficulties on that road than the people in Moorlands, because that bridge is incredibly old, narrow. It's a humpback, and lorries are grounded on it. So, I mean, that does pose quite a problem. And also, when they, I know on their site visit, they went to Dairy House Farm, which I got the impression was a better site to look at all that strategic, all that sort of the panels together to get a better idea. I don't think we did Dairy House Farm, did we? Because that's the way the panels are facing, isn't it, onto the south side of it. Look at policy 8 of our policy. It's provision for renewable energy of a scale and design appropriate for its location. And in my view, this isn't the location. And that should be judged by, or not adversely affecting amenities enjoyed by existing land users, which it will do, and it will not have an adverse effect on the transport and highways network and provides adequate access to all necessary users. Well, I don't think we can underestimate the problems that are going to be using that road. Solar is great. We all need solar. We do need solar to keep everything going.
and I believe 23 solar farms have been turned down in this country up to now, probably for the same reason as this, that it's just not in the right area. And that's what I feel about it. It's a good idea, but in the wrong area, and the cumulative effect and the transport issues it's going to create in what is a very sort of rural village, Lee, stop it in passive places, it'll spoil the whole character of the area, and I cannot support this application, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Do we have any further comments, questions from any committee members before we take it to a motion? No further comments. Okay, moving forward. Obviously, we've possibly got a motion for not approving, but do we have any committee member here present that would like to take this forward for approval? To pass it. Right, thank you, Councillor Huckabee. Do we have a seconder for that? No. So we've got no seconder for your motion to move it forward. So as an alternative for refusal, obviously we've got to have some refusal conditions. So can I ask Councillor Whittaker if you'd like to propose a motion for refusal, and if you can just give us your wording on why you'd like to refuse it so we can consider that.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah. I'd like to propose that it refuse this application on the grounds of visual impact, cumulative effect, and it's against Policy 8, road network, highways, and on the back of the decision taken by our fellow neighbouring parish council.
Thank you. I'll just give the officers a moment just to make note of that.
I'll just listen to what you've said, Councillor Whittaker, and I'll prepare some wording in a second. I don't know if Penny wants to come in on the transport matter.
I think, councillors, as you don't have any objection from your highway, the County Council as your highway authority, we'd be in a difficult position trying to defend on the highways point. It is up to you whether you want to include that still, but I would caution that we may find it's indefensible.
Still, because of the historic bridge and the area, I would still like to include that in the...
Just going on your motion of landscape harm, and you specifically mentioned individual harm and cumulative harm. So a suggestion would be, for a reason for refusal, the proposed development by virtue of the scale, form, materials and siting of development would significantly harm the character of the landscape individually and cumulatively, and it is not considered that the benefits of the proposal outweigh this harm. The proposal is therefore considered to conflict with policies SP1, SP8, SP24 and SP30, the local plan, the staff's design guide and the MPPF.
So local people's amenity as well within that, is that included in that? Local amenity?
No. Just that's a separate one. Yeah, I think if you were maybe have a, I don't know, Penny agrees, but maybe have a motion on each reason for refusal, perhaps, and have the three concerns that you set out as three separate reasons for refusal.
In my view, most of them carry the same weight. Obviously, the highways won't, because that's probably a different issue which has been noted, but...
Yeah, we would recommend that you propose them as three separate reasons for refusal. So I don't know if you want to do each one as a different motion, perhaps.
So, committee members, moving forward then, we're going to possibly have three reasons for refusal, which we'll individually vote on as a motion on each item. So I'll just ask the planning officer, planning manager, to read out the first item, and then we'll have a vote on that and move on to the second and the third. So if we can have the first one, please.
Yes, so the first one's the one I just read out, which is the proposed development by virtue of the scale for materials and siting of development would significantly harm the character of the landscape individually and cumulatively, and it is not considered that the benefits of the proposal outweigh this harm. The proposal is therefore considered to conflict with policies SP1, SP8, SP24 and SP30 of the local plan, the Staffordshire Design Guide and the MPPS.
Thank you. So we have Colin Whittaker, Councillor Whittaker, moving that motion and Councillor Jones seconding it. And if we can see a show of hands of all those in favour of that, please. Any against? Any abstentions? You're abstaining, aren't you? So, yeah. Thank you. If we move on to the second wording for the second motion, please.
Okay, thanks members for your patience. So in relation to residential amenity, a proposed wording could be the proposed development by virtue of the scale for materials and siting and close proximity of development would be visually intrusive to the occupants of nearby residential properties and would harm their residential amenities. The proposal is therefore considered to conflict with policies SP1, SP8, SP24 and DP1 of the local plan, the Staffordshire Design Guide and the MPPS.
Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. Are you happy to proceed with that motion?
Yeah, happy to propose that as read. Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Are you happy to second, Councillor Jones? Thank you. Can we see a show of hands, all those in favour of that motion? Mm. Any against? Mm. Any abstentions? Thank you. We'll move on to the wording for motion three, please, officers.
We might need a couple of minutes, if that's okay.
Okay, thanks, members. For that third motion in relation to highway safety, a proposed wording could be the size of vehicles and number of vehicle trips required to implement, operate and decommission the development would result in excessive traffic within the rural highway network to the detriment of highway safety. The proposal is therefore considered to conflict with policies SP1 and SP35 of the local plan and the MPPS.
Councillor Whittaker.
Can we ask that the council relook that bridge, the state of that bridge, and around it? Because I just question whether due diligence has been done on that.
So, not as a standalone reason, but.
I just like, you know, if it goes to PR, like yes. that in the so, equation. Yeah, that's all I'm
the
saying.
County Council who were, it was County Council, wasn't it? Who, yeah. Do you mean, yeah, for us as an authority to talk to County Council? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's it forming part of a reason for these. Yeah.
Sorry, just got a couple of members wishing to speak before we formally move over. Councillor Legg, if you want to just make your comments, please.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding a comment Clive Ward made, potential threat to local ecosystems, could I add that to the list, please?
I would, in terms of ecology, we have consulted the ecologists who were satisfied with the mitigation, and there are quite a few conditions proposed that would mitigate the impact, including getting the comment was about Great Crested Newts, and it would require the applicant, if permission was granted, to go get a newt license basically and do the mitigation works before anything could happen. So our view is that those concerns have been addressed through the mitigation and proposed conditions.
Okay. Councillor Huckabee, did you want to come back on?
Yeah. On the question of the County Council's intervention or their right to comment and what have you, are we saying that we don't trust the County Council to do anything other than just a tick box assessment, or do we give them the respect that the organisation which is ordained as being the one that organises and whatever our road systems and the safety of them does do their job? And if they come to a particular point where they know the sort of loads that bridges and roads have to take, that they don't bother with any guidelines as such, they just go their own sweet way and do what the individual on the ground wants. Because I think it puts us into a position where if we lose sight of the fact that these are the professionals, then what we're doing is hastening the effect that anarchy sets in, where committees and committee members just have opinions and approval is or disapproval is based on what are unqualified and inexpert assumptions and opinions rule the roost. This is a dangerous path to go along.
Thank you. We're taking it as a you'd like comment from a legal perspective. I'd reiterate my advice that without the County Council as the technical expert witness, that I wouldn't advise including the highways element as a refusal reason, although if the committee is minded to, it is within their gift to do that, but I would expect to receive costs awards at appeal if we have not got the support of the highways authority. Does that respond to your...
It was not based on an observation of what we're going to formally forward. It was based on observation of the comments contained in the debate about this application. I've heard it before and no doubt I'll hear it again. What I'm worried is that when we depart from the advice of people who are qualified and experts in the sense that it's their everyday job, then we must pay cognizance to that amount of training, knowledge and expertise when their entry into a planning application is of a positive nature. I've rest my case there.
Okay, so just to wrap up, obviously we've had legal advice on the third motion in terms of highway safety. A reason has been drafted, which I'll read out. So I suppose when you vote on this third motion, you know, bear in mind what legal advice we've just heard. But the reason was the size of vehicles and number of vehicle trips required to implement, operate and decommission a development would result in excessive traffic with the rural highway network to the detriment of highway safety. The proposal is therefore considered to conflict with policies SP1 and 35 of the local plan and the MPPF.
Thank you. Are you happy with that, Councillor Whittaker, to move that forward?
More happy with that.
Are you happy to second that, Councillor Jones? You are, yep. Shall we move to a vote, all those in favour of that, please? Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. So we've had the three motions for refusal, and basically the application has been refused based on that grounds. We'll have a vote on that. The motions that have been forwarded, the three motions and passed, basically constitute to the rejection of the application, and we'll take a vote. All those in favour of refusal, please, based on the motions that we've just discussed. Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you. That concludes this application as being refused, subject to the motions discussed. If any member would like to leave the room, they may do so now before we move on to the next application.